maudite des Vichon.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got light blue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows.
Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No, you're an angel witch. That song, let me check. I'm looking here. I believe it is Angel Witch by the band Angel Witch from the album, which just so happens to be called Angel Witch. Anyway, hi, how are you? Listeners, viewers, everyone on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and hello, Dez and Chris.
Evening, fellas.
Hi, Dave.
Guys, I didn't even have... This all happened so fast. Welcome to the program, everybody, once again. But literally, while Angel Witch was playing by the band Angel Witch from the album Angel Witch, I made a breakthrough beverage that I've never tried. I took instant espresso and just dumped it in a glass and filled it with water. And it's really good.
You said you were just going to get water earlier, so I assume your special cocktail was just water with like a squeeze of lemon.
I thought it was going to be water, and I got over to the kitchen here, and I saw the espresso, this instant espresso. I can't remember if I bought it or just brought it from New York.
It shows up in the house.
What's that?
That kind of stuff always just shows up in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anyway, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to dump some of this in and see where it gets me. And I'm loving it. It's really good. Anyway, more on this is, hey, Dave, do you remember when I sent in those zebra pants for your friend Isaac here? I do. You sent those to my friend Perry Polinero, I think at a time when he did not have pants or needed a pair of pants.
He didn't have any pants?
He called in when the show was on WFMU. He called in, right, my friend Perry. He was living in Chicago at the time. And he was like, I don't, you know, he has a daughter and this and that. And he was like, I don't have enough money to buy a new pair of pants. We've all been there. Mm-hmm. And so someone who was listening, specifically Isaac Hare, they connected and he sent him a pair of pants. I think that's great. A little weird. And I don't even know why I think it's weird, because I was going to say, it's not really weird of Isaac. It's just nice. It's not really weird of Perry. He was just being honest. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not an everyday occurrence when a man mails another man or anyone. Everyone, two strangers mail each other a pair of pants. Doesn't happen. Anyway, things are good with me. It's my point. I don't know why. I'm working on that story for the moth. I'm hoping to tell that. Like, guys, be honest with me.
It's almost nuts.
If it's not there, tell me. I need to hear it.
You're close.
Anyway, very exciting program tonight. We have the hilarious Jonah Ray joining us shortly. I've not seen Jonah in person. Maybe we'll try to pinpoint it. I've not seen him in a while in person. He lives in Los Angeles. I live in New York. Mm-hmm. Usually.
You used to.
I do live in New York. In fact, not to brag, I'm going back to New York this week. So, as we would say on the streets, Dez, you can suck it. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, so I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back. I need to, like, just kind of remind myself that I live in New York and not in a small Finnish fishing village in northeastern Ohio. So I'm going to go back and check on my underwear collection in my apartment.
What if you've had a squatter living in there this entire time?
That would be a bummer if that happened. I should have, as a preemptive strike, said to one of my friends that you should live in there. But I don't know if that would have been, like, the landlord would have been psyched. I think, like, it would technically, that would seem like subletting. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Have you spoken to anyone in the building at all?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so. Talk to the landlord. She lives there, the upstairs neighbor. Right. One neighbor moved out. This couple on the first floor said they were moving away for, quote unquote, a year.
When was this?
Very recently. Oh. They said, hey, we're going to go to I don't know where they're going, for a year. But no one ever leaves New York for a year. They just never come back.
That's what happens.
That's why I'm going back to my apartment this week to be like, look, this is my house here in New York.
Has it been 6 months?
It has. I don't know the exact date when I left for what I thought was going to be 3 or 4 weeks.
I guess if it was the middle of March, that was all 6 months ago now.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, I thought I'd leave. They would hose down New York, mm-hmm. and I would come back, and everything would be back to normal.
Pretty much, right?
Totally. I have to address, people listening to the podcast version of this show will not know what I'm talking about, but I feel like it's glaringly obvious that there's a portrait of Glenn Danzig, scantily clad. Ooh. And I can't remember the artist's name. I need to clarify this. Suitable. I will have this framed. This is another reason I need to go back to New York, because I have this is pretty cool. Glenn Danzig.
You have someone checking your mail?
Strategic Danzig skull.
No, I'm having it forwarded, not to brag. But I don't really get a lot of mail anyway, thankfully. Mm. I get packages. And then I get checks occasionally, though most... I don't need to tell you my business, Chris. Yeah. My point is most of my world is online. Don't deal with mail a lot. Yeah. Anyway, the number here is 347-474-0260. 347-474-0260. We're coming dangerously close to figuring out how we're going to have a slicker. We're working on making things slicker. And you can support the show. There's the maximumfund.org/join if you want to help us make it really slick here.
It won't be too slick.
Too slick.
Yeah.
For reason.
But we're going to, and this isn't just the instant espresso with water talking. I don't know what else you'd put in instant espresso, but... we're going to switch the way that we broadcast the show, and what we would like to do, and let us know in the comments if this enrages you, but we were thinking, and when I say we, I mean Chris, the brains behind the operation.
Why do I take all the blame?
It's not blame, it's credit.
It's leadership.
Hear me out. You know how these things work. You know how the internet works.
Take the wheel.
But we were thinking of just having it go to... YouTube, so we would be just all in one place that was not owned by Mark Zuckerberg, and everyone can comment and see each other's comments instead of comments being in three different places.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments, or I'll be enraged.
Streamline it.
New Deal Lois, how does Lucy feel about this big change of venue? I'm not sure what's being referred to. Does she like Ohio? Yes. She loves Lucy's loving it. But part of the reason I've stayed so long here is because Sweet Lou is loving it.
Yeah.
Quiz Guy says, good idea, though I probably won't comment on there. What are you running from, Quiz Guy 66? There's the big question.
That might be a plus, actually.
That might be a plus. Nikki Hislop says, I agree with this, Dave. I think she was referring to... Hopefully she's referring to the thing with just having it be on YouTube. Though, a 1 and a 2 says, grr, rage. But then, fuck yeah, maybe they like the YouTube. Anyway, there seems to be what I choose to believe is positivity to this idea. Yeah, go to YouTube. The chat window is better. This sounds great. People are freaking out.
People can watch on their TV. It's just, you know.
But now I'm really confused. New Deal Lois says, move to New York. I do live in New York. This is why I'm going back to my... I'm going to go back to my apartment and take pictures of me walking around my glorious apartment, which, Chris, you know, is glorious.
It's quite glorious. I miss it. I miss the smell of it.
What is the smell? It has a smell?
It's got kind of like a musky, bacony type.
Ugh. Like in a pleasant way or what's going on here sort
of
way?
It's that restaurant on the corner from your place. It's like I turn that corner and I'm like, ah, Dave's place. And I think it just wafts into your apartment.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Plus, you know, I don't skimp on scented candles and lotions for myself. Someone commented that my hair is getting long. It kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glamour. It's not really that long, but I'm thinking of just really letting it go.
Go with it.
Steven Radford says, an actual website with Dave Hill, Good Time Hour, integrated tech, in-house chat, graphics, archive, and also music. I love that idea. Is that even possible?
I think we could do that.
I don't know how anything works.
I got a phone call. We can get those to work.
Let's take a phone call.
Elvira, you there?
Oh, hey, I had no idea it was going to be Elvira. No idea. Elvira calling from Minneapolis. What's going on?
It's been a good week. The kindergartner started her distance learning at school, and she's doing really well at it. She had some FaceTime one-on-one with her teacher today, and that did her a lot of good. We're discovering that there's a want to kind of form smaller groups within the internet groups. So it's not like 60 kids all looking at one teacher. That way the kids can actually know each other. One of the issues for going to school is to gain social skills. So I've been trying to figure out what my daughter is not learning in school. So the other day I taught her how to fart and blame it on somebody else.
You're a good dad.
Yeah,
important work.
Yeah. How did you teach
that? Well, you know, I've been trying to think of the other things, you know, ways, you know, of asking to go to the bathroom. But also, she's doing really well. We are balancing it out with game school, where we do more school that we use games as the driver for it to help her teach reading and arithmetic. And we've gotten 48 stars into Super Mario Galaxy.
Why wouldn't you homeschool her? Given sounds like you're. Why not just take the reins?
Well,
I know you have other stuff to do.
But we wanted our kid to have that. We wanted one for our kid to be in that social environment that is school, and also for especially in our community, for her to be with people that are different than her, different races, different communities. And so many people are pulling their white kids out of the schools. We wanted to make sure that our kid was in there as part of it and for the representation of the neighborhood. Plus, it's an international baccalaureate school she's going to. So they're really kind of work the will of the individual instead of the kind of the mass marketing of school that we had as kids.
All right. I'm in. I like it. I like all this.
Well, it's the choice we have. Every school that's tried to open up, they've had to close down because of COVID cases. And it just seems like asinine. So, you know, the wife and I, we figured out our schedule. She does 3 mornings a week, and I do 2 mornings a week, and then we rotate in the afternoon, shift off. We got a little post up that says who the home teacher is, whether it's mommy or daddy. That way the other person can work. And it's,
now, is that for you or the kid?
It's working out great for the kid.
No, I mean the sign. Is it so you guys remember, or so the kid knows what they're getting into?
It's so the kid knows who to shout for when they need something. That way the person who's trying to work can concentrate on their work.
How many kids are there?
Just one.
Oh, just one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I had an idea.
Yeah.
If you had 2 kids, which is doable, signed. Anyway, what I was going to say is you do one kid that does all the stuff you were just saying.
Yeah.
Then you have the other kid, just set him loose on the street, say, get home by 3 p.m.
When they
learn on the streets.
I suggested that. And what I suggested was you keep one for show and one for parts.
What?
Keep one twin.
Look, I don't know where this is headed. I don't want to get in trouble again.
And then you use the other twin, you know, just for parts. And if
one each twin, yeah.
Starts acting up, you just threaten to swap the roles.
Oh wow! All right, this took a dark turn.
We got another clue if you want to.
Yeah, all right, well,
I'll let you guys go. I really appreciate you. And Dave, I ordered the Canada book, and it's on its way, and I'm looking forward to enjoying it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you and your family with the schooling and the fart education that has already begun.
Well, thank you very much. And I wish you all your best. Oh! And this upcoming 23rd, we have a brand new Cult of the Monk.
He tried to get a plug in there.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
See, now what is the cult called?
You'll be very clued into it. But we'll talk about that next week.
All right. We'll do it next week.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Avira. Yeah. Have a good night. I got to start using this show to plug my stuff.
He gets more in than you do.
I keep forgetting.
I keep reminding you have this large platform.
I have this large platform, and I can promote my own work on it. I should do that.
Caller, you there?
I am.
Who's calling?
Mike from Arizona.
Mike from Arizona. What's happening?
What's happening? How are you guys doing?
Hanging in.
Pretty sweet. I'm on the upswing.
You're on the X-Wing.
No, the X-Lax. No, the upswing, I was going to say.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
I mean, because I feel like I have any more. I mean, I guess it's always this way, but I have I have a good week where I'm kind of staying in the positive headspace. And then I have a really dark week. And then I turn it back around.
You're having a good week right now, right?
I think I'm back. This kid right. Feels like he's back, right. I have to be honest. Better than ever.
Well, I would be back if I had a purple vinyl coming out, too.
Oh, this is good. See, this is good. You've teed up my plug. I should make a plug. This Friday, as you were hinted at, my band Painted Doll that I have with my buddy Chris Reifert, we have our second album, How to Draw Fire, coming out this Friday on TP Records. Yeah, and it's purple. The box is right over there. It finally came in the mail today, the album and the CD. So I did all the artwork, not to brag, but I did. And the vinyl is purple. And then the CD booklet, last time we had four panels. Now this one is 6. Whoa. Because we're big time. And they came in the mail today, and I've been so busy, I've not had a chance to open them up and see what they look like.
But exciting.
I've seen photos, and they look pretty cool.
That's the rock star move.
to not open it?
You can pre-order those now, right?
You can pre-order it now. Go to tprecords.com or go to our Bandcamp page. If you get it from our Bandcamp page, Chris and I will sign it personally.
Not me, the other Chris.
Chris Reifert.
And I mean, I'll sign it too, but I don't know if you'd want that.
No, you could. I mean, if we're all... yeah, and then there's t-shirts, and I got these cool holograph stickers in the mail the other day of the album cover. I'm going to throw those in with every album purchase. Very exciting.
Did you record all this?
I need to get a witch taint patch too. Sorry.
Oh, witch taint. Yeah, get witch taint patches from my website or from the Witch Taint Bandcamp. You can get it there. So there. I don't even have a witch taint patch.
Well, I need to get one. I definitely need to get one. So I did want to touch back on something that was, I guess, in the chat. I think somebody was asking how Lucy would like to move to New York, but Lucy's already accustomed to New York a bit, isn't she?
She's spent the majority of her life in New York. I mean, spent the first two months of her life in Tennessee, and then she lived in New York for her whole life, with the exception of the last 6 months. But she'll be going back to New York. But I think
she's a lovely song now too.
She's been spoiled, so I'm gonna have to like start taking her to the dog run like twice a day, I think.
How old is she now?
She's 5.
Good age for a dog.
She's 5. She's coming up on 6. It does. The witch tan patch does sound like a birth control patch. A 1 and a 2 says. The witch tan patch.
So I don't know if I made this clear in the beginning, but this is the same Mike who wrote the Lucy song for Lucy for you.
Oh yes, yeah. No, I knew that, and I have to figure out a way to play the Mike.
Oh gosh, please don't.
It was amazing. It's a beautiful song, and he made the drum pattern was Lucy. When I ask her to give me a kiss when she's in a particularly feisty mood, she will jump and like jump in the air and hit my lips. And so she was doing this, and it somehow made a sound that Mike then looped that and made that the drum loop for the song. It was really good.
Nice.
So thank you for that.
It's a fun little quirky song that was just it's just a fun little quirky song.
Well, it's beautiful. I love it. Lucy loved it. We're both touched.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I said that is I wasn't sure if you had, come to the realization that it was me that was on the other line.
Oh, no. I realize all things.
I'm sorry. So if I can ask sort of like a really weird question for Dave.
Those are the funnest questions.
So are you ever gonna make it up to Jerome?
I think so eventually. You're referring to Jerome, Arizona.
I thought you said Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I imagine I think you know, once we can travel freely and stuff like that, I'm gonna go nuts. And start trying. Cool. I'm a rambling man by nature. Normally, I was just saying the other day, 6 months or however, 9 months in the year, I probably would have been to at least 7 countries this year. I average about 7 countries a year by my calculations, but I have not been to any countries this year or Arizona.
I'm going to be at Jerome.
I will come to Jerome and thrive.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be great. That's all. That's all I wanted. Say hi. Say hi, you, Chris, Des, all you guys.
Thank you so much.
Oh, not a problem. And I'm looking forward to the new Painted Doll vinyl. I went ahead and pre-order it. I have to be honest. So, but I dig your
music. Oh, grateful.
So of course, I'm going to talk about it. So,
please, thank you so much. I'm very grateful. Thank you for teeing it up.
I'm grateful. Anyway, hey, and I know you don't like live albums. I get that, but there is a live album coming out here shortly that you might like. I know you talked a lot about the Replacements, but you've got a lot of their work already. But it's not music; it's comedy. There's going to be a Lenny Bruce vinyl that's going to be released here soon. I like Lenny Bruce. I kind of think he follows Harlan. Yeah. So, I mean, he just does. I'm throwing that out there before I say Bon Voyage.
Thank you. Thanks for the heads up. No, I'm into that. I don't hate live records.
I used the wrong words. I know, like, typically you don't buy, maybe you don't buy live albums, or maybe I'm just making shit up. I'm sorry.
I generally don't. I don't like the, I would just rather listen to the record and then goes.
No, I hear you.
I'll listen to the record. I'm a purist.
No, I agree.
What if the record doesn't quite capture it though? What the live experience is.
Well, that's when you get in that kind of gray area, because if you look at like Fish and Dead shows, like there's no way an album is ever really going to encapsulate that entire experience. It's something you're just going to have to do, I feel. I could be wrong about that.
I guess so. But with regard to Fish, here's to never knowing for sure. Just kidding. Not really.
I just thought it. Yeah.
It's just not my thing. I totally want to be into it, but I feel like it's not in my. It's not in my. It's probably not in my future.
One of my old buddies was a huge Deadhead, and he tried to get me into it, and I totally get it, but it was just something that, and I think kind of like Fish has taken that over, but it's cool. I totally dig the vibe, but you know, it was just not something that I totally felt the groove of or fell into.
Feels like a Ponzi scheme or some pyramid scheme where they're always trying to sell you on the band and trying to diagnose what song is going to be the best one to turn you on. And yeah, it's
Grateful Dead or Fish.
Both of them. Dead, but Fish can.
I think it's just for me. I like the Grateful Dead. Not that I sit around and listen to them all that often, but I do like them. But Fish, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about this. I think I heard some Ween that I liked, and then I saw Gene Ween, I think it was, mm-hmm. the, for lack of a better description, the sort of rounder one. Is that Gene Ween? I'm not calling him fat. I'm just saying one's more of a tall, skinny fellow, and the other guy's not.
Right. Yeah.
But whichever guy is not. I was in a band that opened for him. That's how I ended up there. And I was thought it was awesome. I was like, this guy's great. So then I was invited to go see Ween by our late friend Dennis Driscoll, who sadly died a few months ago from COVID. Not to bring things down, but it's always nice to mention him. So I went with him, and I was like, here we go. I guess I'm going to be a big Ween fan now, because I really loved Gene Ween, or whichever Ween guy I saw. And then I was like, nope, still not into it.
I saw Ween 5 years ago at Terminal 5. It was the last time I took mushrooms, and it was insanely great. It's 3 hours of Ween.
Yeah, but this is that's cheating, though. You can't. You got to go in pure, sober.
Sure.
I don't know about that.
No, you can. You can enhance your listening with whatever you want, but I'm they saying also had,
the to, guys with the nitrous tanks outside.
Okay,
with the done. Balloons. We're done. That's over the line.
Like I'm all over this stuff.
All right, thanks, Mike.
See you.
Keep thanks, up the good work. All right, bye bye. One glad girl asked, Dave, did you technically win an Emmy this weekend too? This is so, you know, I've tried. Now I'm just hooked on bringing it back to myself, as always. But no, the Emmys last night, last week tonight with John Oliver won again.
I saw that.
Congrats to them.
The dynasty.
And my band Valley Lodge, our song is the theme song to that show. But no, I've not been sent an Emmy at any point.
Did they play cool. Did they play the song at the Emmys last night?
They did. And this is, you know, what's the word? God, my brain's not working. It's this espresso. But I think I was just taking for granted, because usually the last few years I've been on tour in Europe doing comedy shows with the Europeans, where I'm considered a genius. And so everyone texts me like at 3 a.m. in Germany or whatever. I start getting all these text messages like, oh, they played your song. So this is the first year I've been in America, I think, during the Emmys in a few years now. And I actually watched a lot of it and enjoyed it. And I thought, well, then they played the song. I was like, oh, then I guess a bunch of people will text me now. Got like one text message. I took it for granted.
Old hat now.
And then the 1 year knew that the Emmys were on last night.
I think the 1 year I was like, now's my time to shine. Not happening. But here's and it looks like Jonah is in the on deck circle, but I can't tell. Is he there? You think, Chris? You're the brain. Oh, there he is. I see him.
Yeah.
He hit the button right as I said that. I thought maybe he just had his thing on, but I'll make this very quick. But I discovered, I was going through my phone the other day. I don't know if you can hear this, but I discovered the original demo I made on my phone of that song.
Oh, wow.
That I made at like five. The time code is, it's like 5:30 in the morning or something in 2009. I had just gotten back from Japan and I was like super jet lagged, and I just woke up and I had this idea and I mumbled into my phone and here it is. Wait, here we go. Can you hear this?
Yeah. So now, can we use that as the theme song for this show?
We should. Or I mean,
get sued.
Who owns it now?
That no. I mean, I own the song, but but no, I wouldn't. You know, it's already a theme to another. I guess that horrible mouth version that I made with my mouth and singing. But yeah, I found that and I was like, oh, that's cool. Anyway. Just a little glimpse into how I entertain myself.
It's art happening.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Or the time we finally cracked the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
Die.
of this show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonah is here. His camera's on now, so I know he's here. Coming to the program now, Chris, I'm going to swap you out so you're switch sides so we can see Jonah's name. Since we got to fix this. I'm going to pop him in and swap him in, then I'm going to get you in there. There we go. We've done it. Hey, Jonah.
Hey, how's it going, Dave? Good to see you.
Hey, Jonah.
You too.
Hey, Des. Hey, Chris.
Thank you for agreeing to come on our program here.
Of course. I was listening and really enjoying it.
Oh,
that's,
thank you.
That's why I had my camera off, because I didn't want like you guys to see me like picking my nose while listening to your dulcet tones.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm sorry I'm grabbing you a few minutes late here. Since I couldn't see the camera, I thought, oh, he's probably out grilling or something, chilling, or doing something cool.
Yeah, you know, that Cali life.
Grilling. That's what I was. Yeah, I assume you live in Cali. You do Cali things.
Yeah, one of the things that I do that Cali people don't do is call it Cali. That's like the one difference.
No one. Does anyone do it, or just people that are going that live in like Indiana, and then like they're going to go to California? And they're like, I'm headed to Cali next week.
Yes, that's the only time I've ever heard is from people that don't live here. Or have lived here for maybe a bit. It's that you hear like you always know the people that aren't going to stick around here long enough, because it's like it's just they'll say Cali or they'll call it the OC. No one calls it the OC.
Isn't like don't some people say Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, yeah. There's a certain stuff here and there. The one thing I always hear from guys that moved here, and then moved away. It's like, yeah, I lived in Cali for a little bit. You know, it's just like, it's so shitty. It's like, it's not for me, man. And when I hear a guy say that, I hear them saying, I moved to California to become famous. It didn't happen in 2 years. And so I think everybody's fake and I left.
Also, yeah. And then when someone says, oh, it wasn't for me, I just hear, you weren't for it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't reject California. California rejected you.
I've been out here. I just realized this summer, right now is my 19th year out here. I moved here.
Oh my gosh.
August of 2001.
That's amazing. So you moved there as just a pretty young thing.
I had just turned 19 on August 3rd. And then about a week later, I moved out here. It's weird because like if I met a 19-year-old now, I'd be like that's a dumb idea. You're too young. It's too scary.
Yeah. And you're originally from Hawaii, which is a whole another just tons of questions.
Yeah. I wanted to move to New York, but it just seemed too far away. Like I couldn't even process the idea. I'd never been, but I'd never even been to the East Coast. It just I know I wanted to do like acting and comedy and stuff like that. And I wanted to go to New York, but it was just... And then I remember taking a vacation to Los Angeles, and it seemed so fast and so huge and so hectic that I was like, well, I'll clearly not be able to handle New York.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I have sort of the same... I don't know. I think I'll forever analyze my feelings about Los Angeles, because in many ways I really like it. But I do get overwhelmed even. I find like when you're driving, like you have to turn really fast. And I think, well, that's too much. I'm out. It's too much. There's a lot of quick turns.
Yeah.
And I'm confused and I don't think I can handle it.
It is, you know, I don't know. It's funny because like everyone like talks about the driving culture where in LA, where that is most of the country.
Like it is.
It's only really, metropolitan cities that don't have a, you know, like people don't have cars.
It's true, yeah. And I'm from Ohio. That's there's driving in Ohio.
Yeah. You drive and get to places.
Yeah. In a car.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've developed this. But what I was going to ask, Hawaii, though, is one that there's two places where people are from in America. I guess maybe three. But Hawaii, Las Vegas, and Alaska. I'm always like, those are three of the craziest places I can imagine being from in America.
Yeah, my friend Baron Vaughn is from Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's the prime example I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and it was the same thing when I met him. I was like, how does that even work? And then it just seems like such an odd place. And Dan Mintz from Bob's Burgers, he's from Alaska.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Fairbanks, I think the town. I think.
So you guys are like the trifecta. There's three. You've ticked all the boxes. But yeah. Baron told me that he was from Las Vegas, and I just immediately assume he grew up like behind the Pioneer Casino.
Yeah,
like his family's house was right. His backyard was right there. Yeah.
But then, like, the idea that, you know, it's like if someone's from, you know, New York, it's like do they go to, you know, Times Square all the time? Probably not. But they still probably manage to do it sometimes. And that's also the thing with Vegas. It's like, did you go to the strip all the time? No. But yeah, sometimes that was all there was to do.
That would be, man. See, but New York, though, that's one of those. Growing up, just from watching television and movies, especially like The Warriors, I assume...
It's a very realistic portrait of New York City.
I truly believe that no children could possibly live in New York. Yeah. That there's no way children live there, because it would just be like they could. There's no way they would just be eaten alive. And then when I was like 10, my parents took us to New York, and we rode on the Circle Line. Ooh. And I thought we were in the Warriors, basically. I don't even think I had seen the Warriors by then, but I knew it was a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this place is crazy. But now you meet guys like Chris here who were born and raised in New York, and you realize, like, total wusses.
I mean, I'm from Queens.
No, I'm kidding.
If I was like Staten Island or something, maybe I'd have like that attitude. I don't know.
But isn't Staten Island, though? I was just thinking about this today, and I know this enrages people from Staten Island. But is that really part of New York? Why don't we just sell that off to Philly already?
Jersey didn't.
Jersey, yeah.
Or Jersey. I don't even know where. I just feel like when you're in Staten Island, isn't Philly's only like 15 minutes away? I think in my experience.
More or less. Depends on the traffic.
I'm kidding. Dave Bamundo in the chat. I say this knowing that I'm going to enrage him. I basically just did it to mess with his head. But seriously, though, it is its own thing. Come on. Anyway, I digress. How are you doing out there? Are you staying safe, Jonah?
It's
crazy out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's the smoke was pretty brutal for a bit, and it's still going. The fire's still just as bad as it ever was, even worse. But it's weird where LA just kind of, they're like, the blue skies are back. It's fine. But it just means the wind's shifted, which is like, you know, it's been okay. I don't know. It's like, a lot of people are moving. A lot of people are moving out of the city.
Do you know a lot of like comedians?
I know about like six or seven people. Most of them comics. Some of them just like people in the arts.
Where are they going?
I helped some friends move to Portland, and like about a month ago, and they're now renting a two-story, four-bedroom with a basement house in Southeast Portland for the same amount they were for renting a one-bedroom in Los Angeles.
Yeah, when I was out in Portland last year, I stayed with a friend in this massive house, and he was paying less than I paid for a one-bedroom in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice, crazy out there.
I know. It seems poor. I always have a really good. That may have been, I was trying to think when the last time I saw you in person. It may have been in Portland.
Was it for Bridgetown?
Maybe, but
were we on the show, Brendan and Steve Agee's show, where we did songs?
Might have been that. I remember the last we were at Doug Fir together. Is my sticks out of my head the last time
that's right, because we had we were on a stand-up show, and we I was after you, but you had a whole bit, structure of a bit that was identical to one I was going to do.
And
that was my whole plan, was to do that bit, and I didn't really prep anything else in my head. And then I was right after you, and it was like a casual retelling of a Bible story, I think is like the basis of terms, I believe, right?
Yeah, I remember that, and it made me, I've had that happen, and I always think you wouldn't think that would happen, because it's like, it's not like you or I feel like we don't talk about Tinder. Like we don't have a bunch of Tinder jokes locked and loaded. We're just like, oh yeah, there's a good chance another comedian's going to be doing that on the same show if you talk about subject like that. So it's not something I think about. I think it was a very bizarre coincidence.
It was. We're both so lucky Eddie Izzard wasn't on the show as well, because that would have been three casual retellings of ancient tales.
Oh, man. I had that happen very early when I was just starting comedy. Speaking of Bob's Burgers, I was doing a show at Union Hall in Brooklyn, and Larry Murphy, who's on Bob's Burgers, had a bit. But we both had the premise was a guy just trying out stand-up. Which I'm sure 7 million people have done some version of that. But he did it, and I was so I didn't have a lot of things. I wasn't oh, I'll just do this or that. I was at the point where I was literally just well, this is the thing that I have now. and so I was just oh, fuck. I didn't know what to do. And I just did it, and I didn't even acknowledge that he just, I was just starting, so I didn't know what to do. And I just went up there and acted like I did not see him just do it. And
that's always a weird thing. When I was young too, I was doing I wouldn't do jokes necessarily, but I would have a premise and then go on stage, and it was almost like a sketch in the world of stand-up. And it's one of those things where it's if that's what you got, cocked and ready to go, and then something before then, one of the comics before then starts to go into that area, you're screwed. It's
yeah. Yeah, and it is weird. Sometimes someone will just say one word, they'll be elephant. I'll be what? How the fuck? What are the chances? That was the one animal I was gonna talk about.
Yeah, I had a real meta dummy bit where I would do this bit where it's I was I realized my jokes are better in a conversation, so I brought up this might get me canceled, but I bring up a dummy, a Groucho Marx dummy, and I go so here's my conversation with a Groucho Marx, and then I bring it up and he's got blackface on, and then I ask him who did that to him, and he's like you did this to me. I was no, I did not. And it was just a whole chaotic bit that was set up to be one thing, and then it takes a turn, blah blah blah. But then I was ready to do it at another show, and this guy had never seen me do this bit. But Duncan Trussell was on a show, and we were both on the same show, and then he goes up earlier and does a whole sentient dummy bit with his dummy little hobo, and it was just I was oh no! And it was a sketch show, so I didn't know what else to do, and so I quickly, with my friend Mike Bush, just came up with a sketch idea, and it went fine. But it was just That was one of the weirdest parts, where you kind of go, there's only so many ideas sometimes.
Yeah, it's weird. Mike Bush, speaking of Clevelanders.
That's right.
He lives in Cleveland now.
Oh, you moved back to Cleveland?
He did. Oh. Yeah, I've seen him in my visits home. I know we were just talking about this earlier. I'm technically in Ohio now, but I do live in New York, though James is suggesting that I live in Ohio now, but I
tax
don't.
Purposes, I don't know.
This point, what's that?
Tax purposes this year, you might as well claim Ohio.
No, I'm all about claiming New York because I just read, I don't know the details of it, but the Department of Justice says that Seattle, Portland, and New York are anarchic jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So people are now saying, oh, we shouldn't have to pay federal taxes now.
Ooh.
I don't know how any of that works, but I'm all for it. Wouldn't that be cool if New York became like, wouldn't that be sort of like
Escape from New York?
No, like Christiania in Copenhagen. Have you ever been there, Jonah?
No, I've never been there, but I just watched a travel show. I think the Richard Iowade Travel Man show went there, and that was the first I'd ever even heard of it.
It's I don't quite understand it, but it's sort of like a lawless yet somehow seemingly like bands will play there on tour, but you can buy weed out in the open if that's your thing, Chris Gersbeck.
But like also like cops can come in there and arrest people. But it's one of the, it's almost like a no snitching zone is what it really is.
That's what I think it is. It's sort of like, yeah. And they have like big, there's like graffiti everywhere and like, and there's a big camp, like they don't want to, because, you know, people want to go and take their picture next to a big table full of weed. So they're basically police. They have to police it. Like, don't take pictures with the weed.
Jim Biederman said it's a commune.
But it is kind of a commune.
But does a commune have... I guess it makes sense that it's a commune because everyone kind of agrees to that rule of just that this is kind of a unlawed land. But doesn't, when you think of commune, doesn't it seem like it needs like a mission statement or at least like a sex cult aspect to it?
There's always going to be a sex cult aspect. Eventually. I feel like... Everything leads to a sex cult, doesn't it?
Most things.
Any sort of organ. Anytime you organize any group of people to do anything, whether it's a commune, an improv troupe, whatever, eventually it will devolve into a sex cult, in my experience. I think. No, yeah, I think it was a kind of like a squat. But I don't know. But anyway, I was saying, yeah, New York could be just like one big Christiania with like, but still like you can get a really nice brunch. You know what I mean? Get like, still go to Trader Joe's and things like that.
Yeah. I think Dave's I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you want all the aspects of modern, like, millennial life, but...
Completely.
But you want that Gen Z, all cops are bastards mentality coming into it.
Yeah, I want cafeteria, just kind of, just cherry, just pick what I like from the menu. Though I do, I realize that about myself, because I used to think, like, you know... that at my core, that I am a street tough, rough around the edges, scrappy, rocker type. But then I moved into a neighborhood in Brooklyn after living in Cobble Hill. I moved to another neighborhood, and Cobble Hill's like very like, you know, strollers and muffins and things. And I moved to a neighborhood all of a sudden where I did not have access to good coffee or Thai food or anything. And I realized, I was like, wait, I'm not a scrappy guy at all. I just like nice stuff. And that's when I moved to the West Village, because I thought, to fight gentrification, you need to fly into the sun of gentrification and move to the most gentrified place. If you're against it, you have to embrace it.
You gotta, yeah, you gotta be the, it has to begin and end with the punks. Like, the punks go into the neighborhoods and plant the flag of gentrification, and then the artist types go, you know, there's a venue there, and there's cool people that hang out there, and then the yuppies, or the hipster yuppies, the huppies, they move in, and then that's when all the restaurants and stores get nice, and then you come back.
Yeah, yeah, once all the heavy lifting is done, then I come back.
And you can come back, you look around, you're like, this place used to be so fucking cool.
And I just bitch about it. And then, but now, what do you think, is there speculation the way there is with New York? I guess I've heard this about L.A. where people are like, L.A.'s done, everyone's going to leave L.A. And L.A. it's just going to go back to being... a wildlife it's going to be like the way it was before the Tonight Show went out there.
Like, there is, you know, I have a lot of friends that are kind of like in the horror movie scene, as it were, and like, you know, they're all like, we were all hanging out the other night, in a backyard, and like the thing we kind of came up with was that, well, I hope people keep on moving out because it's kind of thinning the herd. So maybe when everything's done and everything starts to pick back up, like, there will be a ton of work.
Yeah, that's that'll be like,
that's the dream right there.
That's my hope with both LA and New York, is that it'll just be like, it'll go back to like just kind of being like, okay, yeah, I don't have to like.
I've questioned like all the choices I've made the past 20 years. You know, like, is this what I want? Did I just like hanging out with friends and the sunshine? Is that like all I really ever enjoyed about being in showbiz?
I've sort of realized that's all I really enjoy about anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I realize, like, I like doing stuff for sure, but really, everything is just a way to fill the time in between hanging out with friends and just fucking around. Yeah. But you have to do other stuff in between, so you might as well be in show business.
You might as well just get told you suck all the time, so when you hang out with your friends, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, it's a real lift when you're not around people. You know, this is a good segue, or maybe it's not at all, but we have to bring up, because a few weeks ago, we had Frank Kniff and Trace.
Hey.
On the program, and you are the new host of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, or, you know, like, the, yeah, I'm, it's, we did the two seasons on Netflix. Who knows what'll happen next?
But it sounds like, it's not over.
There's always something.
There's a possibility.
There's always something brewing with Joel Hodgson. He's always got some kind of idea going on. But yeah, it's like, it's weird to, because just last week, Chris like had, you know, I was on the little Q&A with the Mads,
Frank, yeah,
and Trace on their show. And it's weird that like I'm friendly with all of them, because that was my all time favorite show growing up.
Same,
or, you know,
yeah.
One of them, you know,
so it's like surreal knowing, yeah, them. It's bizarre.
It's really weird. It's really weird too, because it's like, and then having worked with a lot of them, because like I had a lot of people from MST on another show I did called Hidden America, and mm-hmm. like, you know, and then also working with Joel, where it's like, you know, it's a idol of mine as a kid, and then just getting into an argument over how a sketch is working or a joke, and just telling Joel, it's like telling him no. It was such a weird feeling to, you know, be in, but it's still like, you know, it's like a literal dream come true. Like, that was like literally one of the things I wanted to do when I was a kid, was be on Mystery Science Theater.
Did you, when you would fight with him, did you go, no, Joel, the student has become the master? Shut him down.
There was a time where we were, I think I told this on the Mass thing too, but it's like where, like, Joel so much wanted on our last season for Mac and me to be the last episode of the season. And I was just like, Joel, that's like the biggest name episode, like movie that we're doing. Everyone's going to want to know what it's like. And like, he's like, yeah, man. So you got to build up to it. See, man, it's like a stand-up set. You start with your second best joke, and then you go through the set, and then you end with your best joke. And I go, yes, but that's not how watching things on the internet works. Like, it's like, if you want everyone to skip to the last episode, you just invited that by doing it. And like, it was like a heavy argument. Like, it was like a real different generations of taking in mm-hmm. entertainment kind of argument.
Yeah, it's sort of like with music, like, people make records and think in terms of making full, you know, 10-song albums or whatever. And then you realize, yeah, people just kind of throw all the music in a bag called iTunes or whatever. And it's just like, bink, bink. I don't know. None of that analogy worked. And especially the bink, bink sounds made no sense. But you see my point. I'm just saying my point is, everything's different.
People take things in differently now.
Yes.
And that was like a huge thing that Netflix, where they were just like, we need shorter episodes and like a shorter season, because it's like our first season was 14 episodes, and you know, with the shows are so long, you know, they're over 2 hours sometimes, and so like
they didn't edit the movies down for the Netflix version, because I know they did for
just a little bit, like just to kind of like bring it into the 90 minute ish still. You still kind of mm-hmm. want it to be the length of a movie, because people can get fatigued. Remember like in the 90s, late 90s, when Comedy Central started doing like half the cheese of MST3K?
Yeah,
they would start showing half episodes.
Theater Hour or something?
Yeah, the Mystery Theater Hour or something. Yeah. And so that was the
That's
like,
cheating.
The idea. Yeah.
I feel like the whole thing, well, part of the thing with that show is like it had the feeling of like, oh, we're sitting here for a really long time watching this bad movie or this weird movie or whatever. I think it's part of the energy of it. It has to kind of be long.
It has to be long, but I think it also, like, you know, when you start adding in the intro song and the sketches and the doorway sequence, it can feel long. I mean, I really, really like the adjustment from the first season we did to the second season. It just, felt a little cleaner.
Yeah. I'm sure you've been asked this many, many times, but I was thinking about it today as I was doing my tireless research, and I was thinking, like, taking over that, to host that show and to sort of step into something like that is almost a bigger task than like taking over for like, say, the Tonight Show or something, because it's like so specific. Like any like big, whatever late night show, like the expectation is like, oh, this person's going to come on and do their thing. It's going to be their thing. And even though you do that, like there's still all these people that are like, give us the fucking original thing.
Oh yeah,
that's stressful, right?
I knew that. I like, you know, I was there during all of the childhood arguments about who was better, Joel or Mike. I've known the shitty things that I've said over, you know, people were being replaced in shows and stuff like that. So I knew, and that was a lot of stress. I was really, you know, not looking forward to that aspect. And the day I was announced, it was more of a testament to my, you know, the kind of person I am, right? Like, I was like very excited, but also like, you know, I had people tweeting at me. It's like, you're going to ruin my favorite show. And like, and then I would be, but then I would be ruining my favorite show. That's, like, that's paradoxical to what I would want. And, you know, it was tough, but like my go-to joke at that time was, well, at least once and for all, I will unite the Mike and Joel fans. Now like that arguing can now cease to exist, and people can just go, you know, those guys are great. This new guy is, but it was stressful. But I mean, it's kind of a small price to pay for getting to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some questions in the chat, and you can answer or not answer as cool. You see fit. Sounds I'm just good. Sort of scanning here. This might be too hot of a question. But Justin Smith Art, as he just goes for it and asks, was Jonah a Joel or Mike fan? And I guess you could just get out of it by saying yes.
It's hard, you know, for me, it's like, it's one of those things, like, I was never able to pick because they're both so good at different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike was really good at impressions in the riffs, and he was also really, like, great at, like, just being, like, a succinct straight man for the sketches, while Joel, I feel, was a complete character had his own style, where Mike was very, like, methodical in his performances. So it's hard to pick, because it's like picking, like, I don't know, it's like they're just, they have different strengths in their style. So it's hard to say. Yeah.
It's like Ozzy and Dio singing for Black Sabbath. Two totally different things. A one and a two asks, how did Jonah get the gig?
I had met Joel kind of here and there. He was a guest on when I was still doing the Nerdist podcast. He was there, and then I ran into him at a screening of the Wayne White documentary, Beauty is Embarrassing. They were screening that great documentary, if you've never seen it. Wayne White's a guy that did like a lot of the set design for Pee-wee's Playhouse, and then some great music videos. Remember the puppet visit with like the ugly Reagan puppet stuff?
Uh-huh.
He did that music video because he's an incredible artist. And a true like artist spirit, and so like he was having a screening for this documentary, and I went to it, and Joel was there like moderating the Q&A afterwards, so I was very excited.
Wow!
And then I saw him again the next night at an art show, and like he was like, "Hey man, are you stalking me?" And then we kind of just like we exchanged numbers and started chatting, and then you know like 3 years later. Like he asked, he's like, would you want to be like the guy on the show? You know?
Oh wow,
that's an excellent Joel Hodgson.
I just had a call with him today, so maybe that's why it's a little fresh. But yeah, that's it was really like just very natural and very very fortunate that he just kind of like you know met me and liked me and liked my stuff that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so yeah, that's how kind of just how it happened. If I had to audition, I probably wouldn't have gotten it. That's just usually the way it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's how I blow most things.
Yeah.
Auditioning.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, it's amazing, Pee-wee's Playhouse. So, it had him, it had Gary Panter did a lot of the artwork. Rob Zombie worked on that show.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of amazing people.
Just like, you know, artists, artsy weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you a big fan of that show?
I liked it. You know, it's funny, though. Like, sometimes when it shows up online or I'll watch an episode on YouTube or something like that, I remember certain premises and ideas, but I don't remember anything specifically. Like, I remember, you know, like, the cherry and the bot and the screaming during the secret word. But, like, it's really odd where I remember liking it, but I don't remember anything besides the general idea of it, which is odd. I don't think there's any other kind of show in my youth that's like that, maybe except for maybe Gummy Bears or some shit.
Well, you would have been super young though when it was actually on TV.
When was it on? 85, 86?
It's like late, it's mid to late 80s. Yeah,
mid to late 80s.
After Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
which was 85.
Which was 85. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I was, you know, it was born 82. So yeah, maybe it was just because I was young.
Those are. Pee-wee Herman was the first thing that I was like, I can show this to my nieces and we can sit down and watch this, my nieces and nephews, and I will be just as psyched, probably more psyched than they are. But I remember like bringing the DVDs over because I have all that and being like, let's watch this. You're going to really like this.
And what happened?
They were pumped.
Okay.
It's in the blood.
Sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes it's like there's something lost in time. Or it's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's fine.
Oh, I would disown them. I mean, I don't know what harm that would really do to them. Because, you know, I'm not great with the birthday checks. Sometimes not. But no, that I remember seeing the first time I saw that movie, I saw it in the theater for the weekend it came out. And I was laughing so hard that I was worried that I wouldn't be able to stay in the theater. Like, I was like, if this is this funny.
Cape Fear.
I was truly, I remember like who I was with and just thinking like, if this is the breakfast sequence, I was laughing so hard that I couldn't breathe, and I was like, if this delivers like this for the whole movie, I'm going to have to leave, because this, I can't physically, I won't survive.
I thought you were going to say, I was laughing so hard that I was afraid that I would never laugh again after this.
Be out of, I mean, arguably, I may not have ever laughed that hard again. But no, it was, I was just so, it's just so perfectly.
Is it the hardest you've ever laughed in the movie theater to this
day? Oh, I think so. I think so. Yeah, I was just so, that, I mean, still, that breakfast sequence, it's just like.
It is a great, great way to open up a movie like that.
And he's taping his face. Oh my God. It's just endless.
I think I was thinking about the hardest and most consistent laughs were in a theater, and it's because I saw them like opening weekend, but it was the Borat movie, and then I think like Jackass 2, where people are slamming their feet on the ground because they can't keep laughing, like that, that almost scary mania that happens when everyone's laughing so hard and the oxygen starts getting weird in the theater. it's being overly used.
Yeah.
I was 13 when Beavis and Butthead Do America came out, and the entire theater was just packed with other 13-year-olds, and that's without a doubt
magic.
The hardest I've laughed in a movie theater.
That's a good one. The Borat movie. I remember the first time I saw the Ali G show, I was probably laughing that hard.
Yeah,
because it was just so. I just hadn't seen anything like that.
Yeah. I think last show I've laughed like incredibly hard at was probably Detroiters. It was just, that's like one of my favorite comedy shows in a long time.
Oh, I gotta get on that. Maybe I'll go down my the wormhole tonight.
It's crazy because they did two seasons and they were both amazing, and then like, you know, Tim Robinson goes on to do his I Think You Should Leave sketch show.
Oh yeah.
And Sam kind of like picks up, but it was just one of those things. If like, it's like, I want everyone, those shows were great, but like, I was like, everyone should have been watching, like, Detroiters should have had way more seasons. It's just the sweetest, funniest show. I love it.
Oh, I gotta do my homework on that one.
Like Bill Dolan. I'm sorry. Bill Dolan has a theater laugh story for you, Dave.
Where is he?
He's on the phone here. Bill, you there?
He's on the phone. Let's hear it. We have a theater laugh story.
Hey, guys.
From Bill Dolan.
Hello. I wasn't in a theater. I was on a plane, and one time I was on a plane, and I was listening to music or whatever, and I look up and I see people like jerking around and waving their hands, and I mean, almost like 80% of the plane are freaking out, and I instantly think, like, are we being hijacked? Like, it was that out of control. And I take off my headphones and I stand up and I look, and almost 80% of the plane, they're all watching Borat.
Oh, wow.
That was like, it was like split second panic to like, what the hell's going on? And then I was cracking up.
Then you said my wife, and everyone cheered for you. And then you got moved up to first class. Like, that, you're the first guy to do a my wife reference to the movie. Please, yeah, here's some champagne.
I started wrestling a really fat hairy guy.
This is the wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. The hardest I ever laughed on a plane was watching the Places of My Life special from the Steve Coogan, the Alan Partridge Places of My Life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like Alan Partridge. I haven't seen that.
They put all the Alan Partridge stuff on HBO Max.
Like. But they didn't put Scissor Dial or Places of My Life on there, which are like specials that he did that are incredible, huge like influences on when I did Hidden America. But like, there was a scene in Places of My Life where it's just like, I was on a plane, so I was feeling loopy, but it was just like one of those things where I was in pain with how hard I was laughing. And it's a weird thing when you're laughing really hard at something on a plane, like nowadays, because no one else, you just look like a weirdo.
Was that Bill Dolan laughing just now?
Yeah, here.
Strong.
I made the mistake of watching on my laptop one time in a middle seat, which was unbearable for a gentleman of my stature. And so, but
He's about 6'2"? You're no Jonah Ray height. I think Jonah's taller. Not to, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just talking about middle seat. No good.
What were you watching?
Oh, so on my laptop, middle seat, watching Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie. Are you familiar with it?
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the lovemaking scene, and I had to put down the laptop because there's an old lady next to me. So I know we're very sorry. That was not a good choice.
That's a similar thing when I watched Diary of a Teenage Girl on an aisle seat. On an American flight, and those screens are big, man. And it's there's a lot of I know it's not real underage nudity, but it's played as underage nudity and sex scenes in this movie. And I felt disgusting. I also refused to watch Joker on a plane because I was worried what people might think of me when I was watching the Joker.
I always feel like it's not fair. I feel like if the movie's available, you should be able to watch without judgment.
But do you judge? Do you look ahead?
Oh, absolutely. I judge. I mostly, I'll judge if I'm if someone's watching something really crappy, I'm like, really? You're really going to just keep going with that?
All these choices, and that's what you went with.
Yeah, but I don't know. But then a lot of times then I'll follow along, and I'll just be like, feel like I'm watching it. Or... there's some movies, and there was a movie, I don't want to shit on any movies, but I was watching one movie that someone else was watching, so I was just watching their screen, and then I was like, is this movie as bad as it seems it is without the sound? Like, my sense was that it was a horrible movie, and it was a comedy, so I don't want to shit on it, because, you know, we're in show business, and
totally.
I might want to be in the sequel. So I was watched it. And I was, what's that?
I don't think I dreamed it, but I actually think that they were showing on one flight I was on that Sully movie. Maybe because it has a happy ending. I don't know.
Oh, I watched Flight on a flight.
Oh, that's a rough one.
And we hit turbulence right towards the beginning of the movie.
Oh no!
I was like, this is a bad idea.
Is that the Denzel Washington movie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's
like wasted and he lands a plane.
Yeah.
And it's like a real testament. He's like, but I saved all these lives. But you were drunk. But hey.
I know. I got to say, they should have let him off the hook. I think.
No. What if Sorry right, I was drunk?
Well, thank you, Bill Dolan.
All the time.
What's that?
Babe Ruth played drunk all the time.
I know. Look where it got him. We're still talking about him to this day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wishing you the very best. And congrats, Dave, on your breakfast sequences with toast.
My what?
Your breakfast sequences. You were talking about Pee-wees. We like
with toast. Yeah, yeah. I've been big on toast lately. That's all
thanks.
I got.
Thanks, Jonah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
I was thinking earlier, I meant to ask this because we don't have that much time left, but Jonah, you and I both are rockers who then got into comedy, and I see some axes behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been making a lot of dumb punk songs at home.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll get drunk and then just make some dumb kind of punk song, and I'll do my best on the doing the drums on the keyboard, on GarageBand. But sometimes I just need to I'll take my laptop and go to my jam pad and put the real drums down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can play drums. I can't play drums at all.
Yeah, drums is my main thing. I only know a couple things on guitar, and I've just tweaked them enough to where I can. But I'm real stuck. I want to start taking lessons because I'm now out of, I've made all the riffs I can with what I know.
Uh-huh. Now, do you hang out with a lot of musicians in addition to comedy and show business folks?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like when I first moved out here, I lived in San Pedro, and that was the whole kind of
Mike Watt's the mayor.
Mike Watt is the mayor. It's I remember like one time being in line at a burrito place, and I just hearing a voice behind me going, "What's it gonna be today?"
That's like, a good impression.
Yeah, yeah. And then he got the big train, which wasn't even on the menu. So I was down there, and that was like you know, the whole Pedro scene of like Recess Records, Toys That Kill, FYP, and stuff like that. And so those have been my friends since I've been out here, and I'm still like, you know, and I still like, I started a band a couple years ago with a couple other musician friends of mine. And
nice.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's something, you get it. It's like, it's nice to keep your like, you know, part of like your original artistic life, like all parts of it kind of going concurrently.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. And it's like, there's still like there's a physical aspect of playing music. I mean, there is the comedy. You realize sort of after like doing a long set, you're like, oh, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. My side hurts or whatever. But with music, it's sort of like, you're like, oh, I'm picking up doing something. I think I really always like that. But
that's why I love drums so much, is because it's really meditative, where you're getting a lot of aggression out, like you're hitting stuff, but then it's also working your creative brain, because you're just like, you're hitting stuff and exerting yourself, but you're also thinking of like, what am I going to hit next? What's the beat? What am I doing? How do I want to mess with this? And that's like, that's what I love about playing drums so much.
So you have a studio, a jam room?
Yeah, the jam pad. I split it with like a couple buddies.
Nice.
It's just like a little 24-hour lockout space. That, and it's not like it's nearby. It's not soundproof at all. So if you're in there joking around with friends, and you can hear someone going to the bathroom and like, you know, next door,
uh-huh,
it's like everyone kind of like, it's a little self-conscious, because you know how much you like when everyone starts playing shitty music in some other room. You can hear them and you go, ha, idiots.
Yeah, yeah. We're the best at music. They're bad at music.
It is a weird feeling where it's a very like kind of like, you know, it's a bunch of like older guys that just have like their gear there, and we just kind of, you know, we split the red enough now to where it's, you know, okay.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, it's not like a huge burden on us, and I don't know. I love having it. I'm gonna like go tomorrow. Like, I met a friend the other night, and we were just talking about going, and now I'm gonna, like, it's gonna be really neat, because I'm gonna be going to jam with a guy that I grew up, I was in high school listening to his band, and we're gonna go and drink some beers and just,
oh, nice.
He was in a band called Spaz, which is like one of my favorite like power violence bands back back in the day.
I think that's one of the, I think that's a, you know, well, the Mystery Science Theater thing, of course, but like one of the cool things as you get older, like eventually, like, the people that are still doing, making art for, you know, just a broad term, it's like kind of a smaller and smaller group of people. So eventually you just start working with all the people that you were fans of. If you just keep going, because people just keep dropping off. And as long as you just keep going, eventually,
yeah,
you're in a band with Iggy Pop. I mean, someone is, not me. Somebody.
Might happen to Mike Watt.
It happened to Mike. Can I, before I forget, it's because you mentioned the burritos. I feel like this bears retelling whenever I have the opportunity about Mike Watt. And this is not, I don't think this would embarrass him in the least, because I found this out from him. But I've toured with him twice, three times. When I was in Cobra Verde, we toured with him twice, I think. And then we toured with Jay Maskus in the Fog when Mike was playing bass, and Mike would always keep, probably, maybe he still does, he would always keep like a blog of like a tour diary, and you could read it on his website. And so I would read it pretty regularly to hear like his take on the experiences we were all sharing. And on four separate occasions, he wrote about shitting his pants. So I was like, on this in the times that I've been on tour with him, he shit his pants four times that I know of. Like, there's may have been times he did not write about.
Because he's like, he's about to, like ride by. He's like, nah, it's like, they've heard enough about me shooting my pants. I want to get repetitive.
It would always be, he would always have this Dave's Insanity sauce with him. And I'm not telling tales out of school or whatever, because this is all documented, or was on his tour diary. He would take Dave's Insanity sauce everywhere with him, and he would just put it on everything. So he would write these posts about, like, yeah, we were in whatever, Philly, and I popped early and went to a diner, had eggs and blah, 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 and with Dave's Insanity sauce, and then I didn't get back to the hotel on time, and I shit my pants. And it would just be like another, there would just be all these stories like that.
God. That's crazy.
Is that blog still up? Is he still up?
I haven't been to his website in a while.
Yeah, but just go to GeoCities. I just recently, I was trying to teach myself how to like do samples and loops from stuff and like put, you know, make beats out of it and kind of mash up stuff. Just dumb stuff to kind of stay occupied during the lockdown. And I recently did a, I made a beat out of the opening of History Lesson Part 1. From the Minutemen,
like
the real mellow one, the Our Band Could Be Your Life, one of my favorite songs of all time. But I made a loop and a beat out of it, and then like put Nas rapping over it. And there's certain points where I'm like it doesn't always work, but it worked enough for me to feel happy about it.
I want
to
hear that.
I'll send it over to you.
I always like, I've tried this and I couldn't figure it out. Maybe I should try it again, but you know, you can always, there's the isolated David Lee Roth vocals.
Oh yeah,
on YouTube. I tried before. Man, I need to try it again. I'm like, I'm gonna write a whole new song underneath. It won't be as good as any Van Halen song.
Sure,
but I'm gonna try and just do something.
My friend Mike Henry, that I used to write on some shows with back in the day, he made a thing, because there's that isolated track, and then there's also the isolated track of Smash Mouth for a song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he calls it, it's like, and that song is called Days Like These. And so he made a mashup of the two of them, just the both isolated tracks, and it's called Dave's Like These. And it goes like, California's got sunshine. Woo, yeah. Hanging out with your friends. Oh, baby, you better believe it. Not going like, yeah, no, 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 no. And it's just and it's so dumb. And it just like, I still to this day go and listen to it and crack up. It is really, really funny. Dave's Like These.
Dave's, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Quick question for Jonah.
Okay, we'll go out on this.
Call, you there?
Yeah, hey, this is Drew out in the desert. I just wanted to know with Jonah if he still plays bass with Kyle Kinane.
I never played bass with Kyle Kinane. Yeah, I played drums. We did a cover night. I think we did a cover band. Our friend Dave Lyons does a thing called Bring Your Own Tribute Band Night. And it was like every few months, like people would just do like four songs of a band and dress up. And one time, Kyle Kinane and I, I was on drums, he was on guitar, but we did Screeching Weasel tribute band. And then later that night, we did Jawbreaker tribute band.
Oh, nice.
Those were a blast. That's a guy like that. Like, I wish I'd, because when I got into comedy, I was like, it's going to be all Dave Hills and Kyle Kinanes. It's going to be all a bunch of indie rock, punk, you know, rocker people. And then I showed up, and like the scene, like where that in LA when I started was all like Harvard kids. That like I was like, what music do you listen to? And they were like, music. I was like, yes, BJ Novak. What music do you like? Kyle Kinane is he's a great, great punk guitar player. I love him.
Oh, and I didn't know that about him. I got to hear the jams. That's excellent. Well, thank you, Drew.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, have a good night.
Yes, have a great night.
Good night.
Light from the desert.
We're in the desert. I love the desert.
It's a very broad.
I know. I'm pro desert. Big desert fan.
Yeah. More and more, you're in luck, because the Earth is about to have a lot more of it.
I know. If you like, I was just saying, I think the smart move is to like move to the Yukon, and then in like 20 years, it's going to be prime real estate.
Yeah, you just got to go to a place that doesn't that gets water and doesn't rely on a snowpack. That's why, like, every celebrity rich person has, like, places in, I think it's Iowa, like, northern Iowa or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Because there's, like, well water there, and it's, like, it's going to be one of those places that's kind of untouched by... Yeah. Follow the money, man.
Well, Jonah, thank you so much for joining us tonight for the program.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was really a delight.
We're going to head off into the sunset or something. Chris has got outro music. Thank you to everyone for watching, listening, and those of you listening on the podcast version. Support us if you can at MaximumFun.org/join. And everyone stay safe and healthy and hydrated. And thanks again, Jonah Ray. Thanks, Dez.
Thanks Jonah.
Chris.
Thanks, Dave.
See you guys next week. I'm going to hit the end button. Good night.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.